All right, church family, if you would, once again, we're going to go to God's Word now and worship Him through His Word, and it's Romans chapter 8. If you'd like to pick up the pew Bible there, feel free to do that. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, page 835 in the pew Bible. Our main lesson in this series of messages, God's everlasting love, no creature nor any circumstance can separate a Christian from God's everlasting love. Amen? Amen. Blackout is a story, an illustration that has been shared by Charles Colson in the Prison Fellowship newsletter titled Jubilee, where he tells of a young boy who became excessively fearful during the great New York blackout of 1977. Does anybody remember that? Okay, all right. When his parents, now this tells you how it happened. So when his parents questioned their son, he confessed that at the exact moment the lights went out in New York City, he had kicked a power line pole. And that's how it happened. As darkness engulfed the city, he thought he was to blame, and he felt nothing but guilt and shame. Why do I share this illustration? Well, so many Christians, will confess our sin to God and He'll forgive us because He's faithful to do that. But we still hold on to those circumstances of guilt and shame like this little fella did. And it becomes such a burden that we become disillusioned and think God doesn't love us any longer or that He loves us less than He ever did. It's as if we move ourselves away from the Father's love, that is, if we could. You see, when God forgives, He restores us to righteousness. And in that forgiveness, He removes any guilt and shame that we might be burdened with. The problem is we oftentimes hold on to it. You know, that defeats a Christian, and it makes Satan all the more happy when God's people who are forgiven carry around guilt and shame of some forgiven sin. But remember this. The circumstances of guilt and shame that we may hold doesn't weaken to any degree the Father's everlasting love that He has given to His elect. Amen? Amen. And it's because He is faithful to keep His covenant with His people. Last Sunday, we saw God's everlasting love could not be taken from the elect by any creature, whether it's human or demonic, or even ourselves, feelings that we may have. That can't remove God's love from us. And point number one, this is what we saw, that no creature can separate a Christian from God's everlasting love. And let me just read those verses to you one more time to get them firmly placed into your hearts, into your minds. The Bible says, "What then shall we say to these things?" And your translation, like mine, probably begins with "if," but we learned last week that that particle is better translated "because." Because God is for us. It's not a question if He's for us. He is for us. It's a completed condition. Then Paul asks in a second rhetorical question, "Who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" That is, He gives us all the things that He needs to give us in order to save us completely and securely lock us into the grip of His everlasting love. He gives all that is necessary, even His own Son. Verse 33 says, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect?" Some Christians don't like the word elect. I love it. Amen and amen. That's who I is. I'm an elect. And if you're saved, guess what? You're an elect. What does that mean? You're a chosen one. When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. Why were you chosen? Because in love, God predestined you to be chosen. That's why. Amen. You must be a preacher's kid. It is God, the Bible says, who justifies. That is, we are given Christ's righteousness. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So even after we're saved, we still have this lawyer, Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for all the saints. And as you know, the Holy Spirit does as well in utterances that we cannot understand when we don't know how to pray. We've got two chief advocates on our side. So no creature, whether human or demonic, or even our own feelings, can separate a true believer from the everlasting love of God. And that's good news for this old wretched warrior. I don't know about you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah and amen. Jesus, the Father said through the prophet Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Well, next Paul tells us no circumstances can separate us from God's everlasting love. So point number two is this. Look at verses 35 through 39. No circumstances can separate a Christian from God's everlasting love. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then Paul goes into these circumstances. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? All that would come from following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful reminder that you saved us. We did not save ourselves. That salvation is something from beginning to end, all supernatural. Beginning with the Holy Spirit, new birth. With Jesus Christ coming to earth, being fully God and fully man, dying on a cross. At the hands of evil men, by your ordained and predestined plan, that he would die, be buried, and the third day be raised from the dead, first of the resurrected, in importance and value and significance, and that he would ascend into heaven and sit at your right hand, interceding for the saints. Lord, it is you who saved us. It is you who keeps us saved because your love is everlasting. And we praise you, Lord, that no matter what you may ordain for our lives, no matter what circumstances may come before us, that we have to walk through any valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. And a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Once again, as Paul did in verse 31, he begins with another rhetorical question. In the first part of verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And here Paul is not talking about our love for Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Not our love of Christ, but rather Christ's love for us. You see, our love for Christ is weak and unstable. It's weak and unstable according to the circumstances that we find ourselves in, correct? But regardless of circumstances, Christ's love for us is firm, it's devout, and it's resolute. As we face difficult and painful circumstances, as one theologian writes, we know that the divine and indestructible love of Christ binds us eternally to Him. I like that indestructible love of Christ. In Christ, God loves us with an everlasting love. Somebody's got to open their mouth up a little bit more. I got to hear it. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if y'all think that, honestly. Let me say it one more time. Let's do this harmoniously together. In Christ, God loves us with an everlasting love. Amen and hallelujah. Now here's the question. Are you completely sure of that regardless of your circumstances? That's the question, is it not? You see, before we get into hard times, it's very important to know, it's important to understand God's Word, it's important to comprehend God's Word, and it's important for us to believe God's Word, to believe what the Bible teaches us about God's love, especially when we face the horrid circumstances that Paul lists here in these verses this morning. Paul gives us a list of circumstances that cannot separate us from the love of God, the everlasting love of God in Christ Jesus. In the second part of verse 35, he begins, "Shall tribulation separate us from the everlasting love of God?" The answer is no. Well, what is tribulation? It's severe adversity that causes stress, maybe worry, and that kind of thing. Or, shall tribulation, shall distress, that is mental and emotional anguish. You know, there's more people in the United States today that struggle with depression than at any other time. And a lot of those are us believers. And a lot of times, in the circumstance of our depression, we question the very love of God. And that's just a sad reality. Shall persecution separate us from the love of God? This is torture, if you will. It's affliction suffered for the sake of Christ. Shall famine, literally, if we are going hungry, if we are starving to death, will we question the everlasting love of God? Nakedness, to be unclothed, to be destitute, if you will. In our destitution, will we question the very love of God? Or danger, perilous situations, or harsh treatment. Shall sword, and here Paul is figuratively speaking of death or being murdered for the cause of Christ, regardless of how it's done, whether it's being burned at the stake or being beheaded or whatever, or just simply tortured to death, will we question the very love of God for us? All of these words point to a horrid, unpleasant, rotten, and vile circumstances that, I don't know about you, I don't want to find myself in. But it's important to know that if I am going into those kinds of circumstances, that I don't question the very love of God for me. Because that's a bad place to go. You know, we know as church folk, Christians throughout world history, throughout church history, have found themselves facing all of these grim circumstances for their faith, for the name of Christ Jesus. And as a matter of fact, last century, more Christians were persecuted than the previous century since Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So persecution is alive and rampant in the world today when it comes to our Christian faith. So what occurs when we, as Christians, face these kinds of tribulations, these kinds of toils, these kinds of trials? How do we react to them? That's the question here. And some of us as Christians, we do doubt God's love sometimes, depending on the degree of the tribulation and toil and trial. We may question, God, why are you doing this to me? Why am I in this situation? Don't you love me anymore? Some Christians may even turn their backs to God, and I've seen that happen on many occasions. If this is the way God loves me, then I don't want any love from God. And so you turn your back on God and you walk away from God. But here's the good news. It matters not. It really doesn't matter. While we are frail and we are fickle Christians, God is not frail and He's not fickle. And why is that? Because God is more concerned with His character than our lack of faith. That's why. He's going to hold up his end of the covenant no matter what, even if we fail in holding up our end of the covenant in bitter circumstances. God will continue being God, because that's who he is, and he will continue loving us regardless. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, Paul asked? No one. And none of these circumstances that Paul lists can separate us from God's everlasting love. Amen and amen. But a Christian, as we know it, can count on the Lord ordaining and allowing us to go through such tribulations and trials and toils. And so that's what we learn next when Paul quotes Psalm 44, verse 22. Paul says in verse 36, "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Now, what he means by quoting this verse is that we should not be caught off guard. We should not be surprised if and when we go through suffering and horrid persecution for our faith in Jesus Christ. Shouldn't be caught off guard with that. Jesus tells us that. The Bible tells us that. God allows and God ordains hard, torturous circumstances for his people to walk through. The hard struggles that we go through, the torturous struggles that we have and circumstances that we walk through are all sifted through the hands of God. Nothing that comes at us doesn't first have to come from his permission and his allowing it to happen. Nothing. You say, well, give me some examples. How about childless Abraham? For so many years, childless Abraham, Sarah. You don't think that was torturous? Think again. How about enslaved Joseph? God didn't find a man in Egypt. God placed a man in Egypt, Joseph. All that Joseph went through, being thrown in a pit, being sold by his brothers, being enslaved in Egypt, rising up to the second most powerful person in all of Egypt, was ordained and allowed and orchestrated by God. And it wasn't easy for him. And then how can we forget old Job? Why did Job suffer as Job suffered? Why did he lose his health? Why did he lose his friends? Why did he lose his fortune? Why did he lose most of his family except that wife of his? And why did he lose everything? Because he was the most righteous man of his day. That's why. Because God said to Satan, "Have at it, buddy. Have at it." So these kind of circumstances are going to come our way. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. Oh, and let's not forget the Lord Jesus Christ. He was placed on this earth as a man of sorrow to suffer a death that he did not deserve, all for the sake of the Father's will. It was God's will to crush him. God ordained and predestined him to go to the cross, and he used the hands of sinful men to get him there. And Jesus went like a sheep to the slaughter silently, considering it all joy. All joy. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword shall never separate a Christian from a love of God in Christ Jesus. We know that sometimes the cost of resolutely and devotedly following Christ has a high price to pay. Now remember, these circumstances are not an end in themselves. They're not an end in themselves. They are a path to the good purposes of God being worked out in our lives for his glory and for our good. Romans 8:28 spells that out for us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. What are the all things? Well, the good things and the bad things, the light and the darkness. the good circumstances, the bad circumstances. They all work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So Romans 8:28 reminds us, as one theologian writes, God has a good purpose in all the hard things that he ordains to take place in our lives. And with that being said, we should never doubt the love of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what circumstances may come our way, his purposes are good for us. As one theologian writes, God's love takes care of us right now in our suffering, not just later. So don't forget, when walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God's love is for you. And just remember, as we've learned from Scripture, it is a high honor to suffer for Christ. And in suffering, we are conquerors. That's what Paul writes. Verse 37, "Know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So we overcome dreadful circumstances, not by our power, but through the love of God. And we are to consider them, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, to be light, momentary afflictions. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, Paul writes, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, the things that are unseen are eternal." God has an eternal good purpose in these circumstances. Remember who you are. You are a conqueror. And your future is bright and it's beautiful, and everything is going to be okay because of the everlasting love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul concludes in verses 38 and 39, "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Never doubt, always be certain, there is no circumstances that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are eternally secure in his firm grip, eternally secure. The Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." And then Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 28 and following, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now let that truth float your boat in this fallen world that we live in, and just simply give God a happy hallelujah and a hearty amen. Well, no creature can separate a Christian from the love of God's everlasting love, and no circumstance can separate a Christian from God's everlasting love. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the movies that were done by Pixar that has the character Dory in it. She is a fish that has very short-term memory. And Finding Nemo, you remember that movie in 2003, and Finding Dory in 2017. She's known for her short-term memory. Throughout the movie, she struggles to remember who she is, where she came from, and where she's going. She struggles to remember the very conversations she has, and I'm probably describing a lot of us today. But when it comes to God's everlasting love for you, for me, don't be like Dory, who has a short memory. Remember, don't forget, God loves you with an everlasting love, and he has since before the foundation of the world. So whatever circumstances you may be going through, or whatever circumstances you may be getting ready to go through, Always know this foundational truth based on God's word that no creature nor any circumstance can separate you from God's everlasting love in Christ Jesus. Remember that. God said it through the prophet Isaiah many years ago. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Amen. That's good news. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your everlasting love. It's not a love that we get because we deserve it. It's not a love that we get because there's something inherently good about us. It's not a love that we get because we have a right to it. It's not a love that we've done anything to merit. It's not a love that we've done anything to not merit or to not be given that love. But it is just simply a choice of your goodness and grace and mercy before we could ever do anything, good or bad. You set your love on us, and you will never revoke it from us. So, Lord, whatever sin we may be struggling with, whatever circumstance that's troubling our hearts and minds, let's simply remember your everlasting love is for us. In Jesus' name, amen.